Hello, this is Carl Nold, President and CEO at Historic New England. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Today we're visiting Beauport, the Sleeper McCann House. It's an historic house museum in Gloucester, Massachusetts, out on Eastern Point, right on the water. Now, we've been told that everyone who visits Beauport has a favorite room or a favorite story. Today we're here with Joan Ford, who is one of the guides at the historic site, and she's going to tell us the story of the Wantson family at Beauport. And Joan, thank you so much for doing this. I'm really glad that you've agreed to tell us a little bit about Mary Wantson and the Wantson family. And I really would love to just hear why this is one of your favorite stories.
Well, because Mary Wantson is somebody that I greatly admire. Mary Wantson came from a very poor family, had very little education, came to Boston and worked as a domestic servant for $3.50 a week, then eventually came out to Eastern Point and married into the Wantson family. They were sailors, they were lighthouse keepers, and they were domestic servants up and down Eastern Point.
So they were in the Gloucester area.
That's right. And they were all wonderful cooks, and Mary Wantson prime among them. So I like Mary Wantson's story because it shows to me what somebody with very little background, really, but a tremendous work ethic can bring about at a place like Beauport, because she was totally dedicated to this house, to Mr. Sleeper, and to the collections.
So maybe we should mention that Beauport is the summer home of Henry Davis Sleeper.
Yes.
And can you just tell us a little bit about Henry Davis Sleeper?
Yes. Mr. Sleeper was a collector and a prominent interior designer that worked in the early part of the 20th century. He was somebody that was never well physically all his life, so he never went to school. He was always tutored privately at their home on Beacon Street in Boston. And he spent a lot of time with his mother, Maria Westcott Sleeper, who was a collector. And the two of them were of like minds. And we have pictures in the house that show the Boston house and what it looked like.
So he had a house in Boston and a summer place out here in Gloucester.
Exactly. And for a while, he had servants that were not very efficient. When they showed up, they often didn't do the work well. But in 1919, he hired Mary Landergan Wantson to be the cook and the housekeeper. And that was probably the luckiest day of that man's life, because he was getting somebody with a tremendous work ethic and someone who valued her position here at Beauport, as did her husband, who was the handyman, and her two boys who grew up here.
So I know from being on the tour earlier that Henry Davis Sleeper did a lot of entertaining out here. And I'm assuming that Mary Wantson played a big role in making the operation at Beauport a success when he did some entertaining, and that the behind-the-scenes headquarters at Beauport probably were the kitchen where Mary Wantson did most of the work. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that room?
All right. The kitchen was put on the tour perhaps 5 years or so ago. And it shows some wonderful, a big gas oven, all kinds of 1930s pieces are in that room, because that was the time period that the curators set this kitchen in. And it's a fairly large room, and Mary Wantson was a wonderful cook, and there is a story that her son used to tell about Mr. Sleeper hanging around the kitchen in the morning waiting for the pastries to come out of the oven. And all of the dining rooms in this house have menus that were tailored to suit the decoration of the room.
So how many dining rooms are there at Beauport?
There are five.
Five? So he entertained his guests in a lot of different settings.
That's right. One is the Pine Kitchen, early American kitchen, so you'd have game birds and pumpkins and squash and turnip, all cooked by Mary, of course. And then there's another wonderful room called the Golden Step Room, one of the most, I'd say, popular rooms in this house. And, of course, curried lobster and clams and seafood of all kinds was served in this room.
So you mentioned Mary and her husband and her two sons. Were there other people that helped her in the kitchens?
She Yes. She could hire anyone that she needed to for both helping at the parties and also the cleaning of the house.
Okay. But they were the live-in staff.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about where they stayed when they were here at Beauport, and that would be Mary and her husband's name. What was her husband's name?
George.
George. So Mary and George, where did they stay?
They stayed just up over the kitchen. Mm-hmm. There were five small rooms with a shared bathroom up over the kitchen, and Mary and George each had a very small, very simple room.
So they had their own room. They didn't have a room together.
That's right, because those rooms had previously been used by these single Irish ladies who were some of the previous servants.
Okay.
And that's where they would go in the evenings after they were finished with their work. However, right outside Mary's room is a telephone that is like a call series, a call telephone. And they were really called 24/7, and anytime Mr. Sleeper needed them,
buzz right outside their door.
That's right. Phone them right up.
So he was lucky, though, to have such good help in the house, correct?
Yes. It was as though the perfect group of people came along at the perfect time, because this was a house that was not easy to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you look at the windows, you see all the panes of glass are not large ones. They are very small. So that was a really challenging event that took place probably in the early spring, and then any time that Mrs. Watson thought should take place.
Plus all that entertaining.
That's right. And one of the wonderful collections in this house is the amber glass collection. And Mary Watson used to draw pictures and diagrams of every piece of this 130-piece collection. And she would draw pictures of where each piece sat.
Where is the amber glass?
The amber glass is in a room called Central Hall, mm-hmm. and it was made from a recycled doorway from a house in Connecticut. And every spring and late in the fall, and I suppose any time that she felt it was needed, she would bring the pieces into the kitchen, shelf by shelf, clean them, and put them back according to her diagrams. And, of course, those diagrams reflected what Mr. Sleeper's positioning of those pieces had been.
So 130 pieces of amber glass on a few shelves, and she had a great diagram to make sure she didn't go away from the design that Sleeper had in place.
That's right.
That's great.
And the condition of all the collections, I think, is quite important and reflects, again, the kind of work ethic this lady had. Because all of the collections, the redware and the amethyst glass and the amber glass and so on, all are really in very wonderful condition.
And there's a lot of colored glass.
Yes.
In the house.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Glass and color and the light coming in from either other rooms or from the outside.
So you'd mentioned that about 5 years ago this component of the tour was added to the visitors' experience here at Beauport. And what do you think is the most important thing they should take away from learning about the servants here at Beauport? Is that this is sort of another side to the story of Sleeper? You know, we hear about his entertaining, we hear about all of the lovely, wonderful things he did. And Mary Watson's story is sort of the other end.
Yes, it is. And I think people almost would take it for granted that such a thing occurred rather easily, but such was not the case.
Right. There's a story here about the Golden Step Room.
I think we have a memory of Mrs. Watson not being entirely happy when she realized that steamed clams were going to be on the menu in the Golden Step Room. And I don't know that she would ever have said anything, but her younger son, Jack, did speak about what had to be accomplished.
You've got a quote right here.
I do, yes. She'd have to have a bowl for the juice and one for the butter, one for the shells, one for the steamers to be on, all in sequence for one course, all those dishes for one course, and then a cup if you wanted to drink the juice, a big thing over steamed clams.
So you can see why Mary might not have had that as her favorite dinner to
exactly.
serve.
Exactly. You can imagine the cleanup that occurred.
Exactly. And that's true, just one course.
Yes.
But she must have been quite pleased to be working here at Beauport. She seems proud to have tried to keep Sleeper's design intact and showed the house to people. She seems to have been, as you mentioned earlier in the program, one of the first tour guides here at Beauport. Would you just elaborate a little bit and tell us a little bit about what she did?
Well, she was responsible for the entire running of this house from the beginning of the spring, before Sleeper came out from Boston, all through the season, and then at the end of the season, around Thanksgiving, or after Thanksgiving, I should say, they had to clean this house. Mr. Wanson inspected the house even when Sleeper was not here during the winter time, and did other little jobs for Mr. Sleeper in connection with the collections and the furniture. And so they were really responsible for the entire running of this house, and I think it was probably very exacting, perhaps even exhausting work, but I think they were pleased to have this kind of employment because it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they realized how much they were contributing to the way he could make this house and keep it and entertain in it. And so that really put them, in some ways, at the forefront of everything.
And she was quite meticulous, keeping everything in order. And you have a story you're going to share with us about some notes.
Yes, I've read that even in the years after Mary Wanson was not here any longer, guides would find little notes in a soup tureen or in a tin shoe or someplace in the house that Mary had written to remind herself of the significance or the material from which this piece was made.
That's wonderful.
It shows, again, this tremendous desire to do a first-rate job, which she did. And all you have to do is look at the collections, because they are almost as though she herself had just left.
Well, Joan, I loved this story. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
You're very welcome.
Really,
it's my pleasure.
It. For those who are interested, there's a little bit more information on the servant stories at Beauport. It's available at www.historicnewengland.org, and it's a copy of an article that is in the Historic New England magazine, and it's the summer 2004 issue.
I hope you enjoy these behind-the-scenes glimpses at Historic New England with our curators, teachers, designers, collectors, preservation carpenters, guides, and friends.